From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. You could look at the preliminary report on Iraq, mandated by Congress and released today by the White House, and say, progress has been made. The proverbial glass is half full. You could also say, no, the glass is half empty. Things aren't getting better. Or you might say these 18 political, economic, and military benchmarks are artificial, not terribly helpful. At any rate, the National Security Council has concluded that the Iraqis are making satisfactory progress on 8 benchmarks, unsatisfactory progress on another 8, and have mixed results on 2. In a news conference, President Bush said he will make no decisions on possible troop withdrawals, at least until September, when the top U.S. commander in Iraq, General David Petraeus, gives his security report. The president warned once again about leaving Iraq too soon.
To begin withdrawing before our commanders tell us we are ready would be dangerous for Iraq, for the region, and for the United States. It would mean surrendering the future of Iraq to Al-Qaeda. It mean that we'd be risking mass killings on a horrific scale. It would mean we allow the terrorists to establish a safe haven in Iraq to replace the one they lost in Afghanistan. It may be increasing the probability that American troops would have to return at some later date to confront an enemy that is even more dangerous.
The president noted that this interim progress report comes just 3 weeks after the final troops arrived in Iraq as part of the troop increase. One reporter asked the president, with the American public clamoring for a change of course in Iraq, why are you so resistant to that idea?
There's war fatigue in America. It's affecting our psychology. I've said this before. I understand that. It's an ugly war. It's a war in which an enemy will kill innocent men, women, and children in order to achieve a political objective. It doesn't surprise me that there is deep concern amongst our people. Part of that concern is whether or not we can win, whether or not the objective is achievable. People don't want our troops in harm's way if that which we're trying to achieve can't be accomplished. I feel the same way.
As for the role of Congress,
I don't think Congress ought to be running the war. I think they ought to be funding our troops. I'm certainly interested in their opinion. But trying to run a war through resolution is a prescription for failure, as far as I'm concerned, and we can't afford to fail.
For reaction to the president's remarks, we're joined by Democratic Senator Jack Reed of Rhode Island. He's just back from his 10th trip to Iraq. The Senate will soon be taking up an amendment Reed has co-sponsored. It would begin a troop withdrawal within 120 days and would limit the remaining troops' role in Iraq. Senator Reed, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
I'd like to ask you first what you make of the progress report today. Based on what you saw in this last trip to Iraq, the report says there's been satisfactory progress in 8 areas, one of them being reducing the level of sectarian violence. Do you think the White House has it right?
I think they're being overly optimistic, and I think the critical issues, the political capacity of the government still is lacking and inadequate, and that is the most decisive issue. They haven't been able to pass laws with respect to the distribution of oil profits. They haven't been able to engage in true reconciliation, particularly bringing the Sunni community into the government. And there has been a dispersed level of violence, but it still persists. So by and large, it's a very mixed result, and I don't think it represents the kind of progress that the president was hoping for, honestly, when he increased the size of our forces there.
You heard the president just now saying it's a prescription for failure for Congress to be running the war through resolution. Are you trying to run this war, Senator?
Absolutely not. We're doing, frankly, what the American people are demanding, that is try to sketch a policy that will enhance our security in the region, not just in Iraq, and also allow us to continue to focus on the continuing threat of international terrorists throughout the world. This is, I think, necessary to do it, and it represents the best way forward. And frankly, I would hope the president would seriously cooperate with us and not simply rhetorically say so and refuse to listen.
Let's explain a bit how your proposal would work. Troops would start withdrawing within 120 days, and then there would be a limited presence by April of next year. What role would those U.S. soldiers be playing?
Those American forces, soldiers, Marines, and every other component of the Department of Defense and even some other agencies would be involved in 3 discrete missions. First, counterterrorism. We cannot let up any place, certainly not in Iraq, in our pursuit of Al-Qaeda elements, international terrorists, not those who may just be directly connected to the al-Qaeda leadership, but the sympathizers also. Second, there would be the training Iraqi security forces. And then finally, we have to protect our forces. So we cannot leave American forces on the ground unless we're sure we're doing the utmost to protect them.
And how many troops do you figure that would take?
Well, you know, I've talked to generals on the ground, generals who served there. There is a training component that probably several thousand American personnel. There is the need to protect those forces, logistical support. I would suspect it would be in the thousands. I don't think we're talking about 200 or 300 people. I don't think we're talking about a small office. But I do think we're talking about a significant reduction in the current footprint of 160,000 troops. I do think we're talking about beginning to pull out those maneuver brigades, the large units of troops that, frankly, because they're being used repeatedly over and over again, are beginning to show signs of wear and tear, both the men and women and the families and the equipment. By April of next spring, it would be virtually impossible, nigh on impossible, to maintain 160,000 troops without draconian personnel policies. That's not going to happen. So this drawdown will happen. What we're saying is let's do it in a phased, controlled way, let's recognize it, and let's adopt those missions that are the most supportive of our national security and hopefully most contribute the most to the stability of Iraq.
President Bush today warned of the risk of mass killings in Iraq on a horrific scale. If that were to come to pass, what would you do then? Would you send troops back in?
Not only what we do, but how we do it is very important. That's why the essence of our approach is not the classic and oft rhetorically mentioned precipitous withdrawal, but one that is phased, one that I think gives the president and in turn the commanders the ability to regulate the flow of troops out of the country.
But you're talking about just thousands of U.S. troops left by next April. What would happen if there were a bloodbath at some degree?
Well, I think part of this is recognizing that this is not just a military solution, that we have been training and hopefully effectively training the Iraqi army. They should be a counterweight to any type of, we hope, sectarian violence. And then what you're seeing, too, is that at some point, the Iraqi political leadership has to recognize that, you know, it is not in their interest to just stand by while there is a significant deterioration of stability and in the communities.
Senator Reid, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Senator Jack Reed, Democrat of Rhode Island, is a member of the Senate Armed Services Committee. He recently returned from his 10th trip to Iraq.